Sound.org.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to Midpoint Friday. I'm your host, Janelle Irwin. Frank Knox is our engineer and Patty Perkey is manning the phones. Coming up on the program, we'll hear, and probably not for the first time for most of our listeners, the controversial Gillette commercial challenging men to stand up and fight off toxic masculinity. Among other things I want to get into is why in the hell is anyone upset about this ad? So before I get too uppity, let me just throw out a disclaimer. I try to stay as neutral as possible on most topics. I'm a journalist and I have to be balanced and fair. Notice how I switched up that order so you didn't think you had accidentally turned into Fox News. But I don't cover this issue. At this point in my career, it's just not in my wheelhouse. Add to that that I'm a woman. I'm a woman raising three daughters. I'm a friend. I'm a sister. This ad speaks to an issue that affects all of us. Whether we are female victims of toxic masculinity, and let's define that more in a moment, or if we're the men who still think it's okay, or the men standing up for a better culture, it affects us all. So yeah, I'm going to speak my mind unapologetically so on this issue. And I think that this is a crucial issue, one certainly worthy of taking a bit of time away from the everyday minutiae of what Trump tweeted last night or how Giuliani threw basically everyone who isn't Trump but used to work for Trump under the bus, true story. This ad is about basic human decency. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or some other third party or just don't give a crap about politics. There's a basic question here. Should people respect other people? If your answer is anything but yes, reevaluate your life. All right, I'm already getting too feisty. So let's just rewind a little bit. Frank's laughing at me because I'm flailing my arms around like a crazy person. Let's go ahead and take a listen to the actual commercial that Gillette released this week, and then we can dive more into what the heck is going on.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men.
And small.
I am strong.
I am strong.
But some is not enough.
It's not how we treat each other, okay?
Okay.
Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in to Midpoint Friday, I'm Janelle Irwin. That was audio from the Gillette commercial launched earlier this week that has pretty intense controversy. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, the number to call is 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can also send us a text at 813-433-0885. So let me just walk you through that commercial really quick, since being radio and all, you couldn't actually see what was happening. I'm going to oversimplify here, but the gist is the commercial featured on very common images of actions that have historically been tolerated by society. There's a woman being catcalled, a man grabbing a woman's butt in a sitcom, and an audience laughing about it, a businesswoman being dismissed by a man looking at the rest of the boardroom, which was all men, and saying, I think what she meant was, much to the woman's dismay. Two boys fighting, one of them cute by societal standards of what cute boys should look like, and the other a ginger. you get what I'm saying there. The images pass with no one stopping to challenge the behavior. But then the commercial shifts. And this is where little old Janelle gets goosebumps. A man stops another man on the street from following after a woman he's ogling. One by one, men leave their posts at the almighty masculine grill to make a change. Not that there's anything wrong with grilling, guys. I love to grill. A father breaks up the two wrestling boys, the ginger of which is taking a bit of a pounding, and says, "That's not how we treat people." Another father breaks up a fight between kids while his son watches in awe. And that's where the most important point kicks in. The examples that fathers, brothers, bosses, friends, all men set today for the young boys watching them will set the tone for how those boys behave as men. It's not a bad thing to teach them to respect women. It's not a bad thing to teach them not to beat up their peers because their hair's a different color. This is called being a positive role model. So, I want to take as many calls as possible on this because I am fired up. I've been fired up all week long. I'm going to get into a little detail of a Facebook debate that I had. I broke the cardinal rule of getting into a Facebook debate with somebody. I should know better. Anyways, it turned out to be quite the exercise in anthropological, study. So we'll get into that in a little bit. If you're a woman, tell us a story about how toxic masculinity has affected you. Are you a man who thinks this commercial has a good message? Tell us why. And especially if you're a man or a woman who is offended by this ad, please, for the love of God, help me understand why. Because I literally can't find any reason, unless you just don't want to be called out for your own bad behavior, or you think that men being bullies and mistreating women, if you think that's okay and that's the way that men are supposed to behave, okay, I can get why you wouldn't like the commercial then. But if all you can come up with is that there's not another Gillette commercial that says the same things about women, yeah, I don't see how that's a good argument. If you want to say it's attacking all men, you've completely ignored the fact that when this commercial shifts from showing what has historically happened and then showing men standing up and taking a stand against it, and it says exactly that there are men out there who are already doing this, but it's not enough. It's a call to change. It's a call for us all to be better. And if you somehow find that as a negative message that's just man-bashing BS, make me understand. All right, let's take some calls because, holy Hera, they are ringing off the hook. Let's go to Lena in Tampa. Lena, you are on the air at Midpoint Friday. What would you like to say?
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks.
I'm so happy to hear you. Your voice was missed.
Aw,
know that I had to start off with that.
I appreciate that. So, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So I have to say, I live in a bubble, and I was scrolling on my Facebook page, and I saw everyone in this hubbub about this Gillette commercial. Then I finally saw it. Then I was completely thrown off on how anyone, men or women, could ever find this offensive. And I'm with you. I'm like, tell me how this is an attack on masculinity. Because a part of masculinity is also showing leadership. And leadership hasn't been, you know, our standards have been lowered by Trump, where I guess leadership now is grabbing a woman by her private parts. But masculinity is actually taking a stand and defending, you know, the helpless. When you see two little boys fighting, a man, a grown man, an adult, should stop that fight. If a man sees a woman being attacked, he, as a man, should do that. That's not an attack on masculinity. That's the definition of. That's not to ask a man to be a decent human being, and that is considered an attack. How? I would love to hear a man explain to me how that commercial was offensive.
You want to know the sexiest thing I've ever seen in a man?
What's that?
Yeah. My husband letting our daughter paint his toenails.
That is the sexiest thing.
Right?
That's the definition of the compassion a man shows.
Can I just tell you, he still has one toe that still has nail polish.
That still has nail polish, and he's rocking it.
It's been months.
Yes. And he's like, I'm going to leave this on for my baby girl. Because I love it to see my husband play with our daughter. Like, just, you know, Goo Goo Guy or, like, tea parties. Like,
right?
Part of masculinity is embracing femininity. And, or to embrace that, like, gentler side. Masculinity is not, you know, alpha male all the time. There's a balance, gentlemen. Balance.
Amen, Lena. All right, well, yes, keep I'm listening because we've got like a bajillion. We've got busy signals right now, so I'm going to keep rolling.
Ma'am.
All right, take care.
Have a great day.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. All right, I'm going to keep the conversation rolling here. I'm going to get to another call in just a second, but just to kind of piggyback off of that conversation. So when I first saw this ad, I literally teared up at the end of it because, I mean, it's the scene where a father is walking through a city with a son and he sees a boy getting beat up by a group of other boys, and he steps in and he breaks it up and he looks at the boy who was being attacked and he says, "Are you okay?" And then the camera angle pans to his son, who's much younger, who is literally, look, Frank, can you attest to this? I have goosebumps. My hair is sticking up. The little boy is just like, wow, my dad is a hero. I mean, the man could have been wearing a cape with a giant S emblazoned on his ridiculously tight blue unitard, because that's how much of a hero he was to his little boy in that moment. How is that not masculine? How is that an attack on masculinity? Nobody's attacking masculinity. They're attacking toxic masculinity because it's the toxic part of it that makes it bad. That's what toxic means. It's not hard to figure out. And if it is, you could look it up. We have Google, smartphones, dictionaries if you're old school. I'm going to take a call and then I'm going to tell my Facebook story. Let's go to Byron in Tampa. Byron, thank you for your patience on hold. What would you like to say?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. So, first of all, I'd like to say, I don't know how many people are offended by the ad as men. When I talk about it with other men, it's mostly an eye roll. It's like how poorly executed the ad was. It was bordering on comedic, right? Like,
so I thought it was incredibly well produced, if you take the content out of it and just look at it from a cinematography.
Oh, sure. No, that's fine. But when I say execution, I mean execution of delivering its message. I mean the cliche of these row of dads in flannels in front of these big barbecue grills that are watching these boys in a gladiator match or something. This doesn't happen in real life.
But it does.
No. Last barbecue I was at, I didn't see any kids getting into a gladiator match while all the guys chuckled at it.
So what I'm hearing from you is that...
That's a cliche. See, the thing is, I don't think this is attacking masculinity so much as it's attacking modern American cliche manhood, which is the dad in a flannel who's got some, you know, two boys that like to roughhouse a lot and stuff like that. Now, even the mansplaining bit. I don't want women to be mansplained to. I don't want women to feel uncomfortable at work. I'm about a meritocracy. But if you look at the bit with the boss in the conference room, he's every jerk boss in every meeting and every jerk conference room. And for every woman who's had a boss say, I think what they're trying to say is there's at least one guy who's had the same thing. So I think it could be executed better.
No.
I have no problem with Gillette trying to do something about, hey, let's try to make better men, because that's what all the ads are. It's about dads sharing stories with their sons, teaching them to shave and teaching them to be a better man. But this is, at the end of the day, a consumer product company that's just trying to lecture you. Number two, they turn a lot of men into this sort of comedic, almost like Family Guy Al Bundy cliche, which is not fair. That's not how it all is. And although I'm with you as far as what is the ultimate message? Should men be better to women? Do we have a long history of problems? I agree. Totally. I don't know if I want to be lectured to by a consumer products company about it, though.
So,
now, there has been times this has been done well, like when Nike did a very female-centric ad about Let Us Play. I thought that was done pretty good and in good taste. But
well, yeah, the difference there, I think.
My last question is this. Am I allowed to at least roll my eye at it a little bit? Am I allowed to do that?
Honestly, Byron, you're allowed to do whatever you want. And I think it's really important and something that we are fastly losing in American society, that we have productive dialogue and conversation, that we listen to one another. Now, I think that a lot of what you just said is deflecting. I think that your reaction is a hell of a lot better than some of the negative reactions that I've seen. It sounds like you're a decent stand-up guy who does think that women should be respected and that boys should be taught not to be bullies or girls for that matter. So I appreciate all of those things, but I think that in the types of talking points that I'm hearing from you, the thing that gets lost is that when you're, first of all, the comment about this being a company and you don't want to be lectured by them, that's like one of the few points that it's like, fair enough. Because at the end of the day, they're just trying to sell a product. And for every person who's pissed off, there's plenty more who are really excited and they're going to go and they're going to buy this company's products.
Right.
So that's why. But on all the other points, the exaggeration is part of the message. It's meant to be sort of caricaturized because you're making a point. And to make that point, sometimes there has to be a little bit of embellishment and a little bit of drama. On what you said about for every woman who's been spoken to like that in a boardroom, there's another man who has. I think every woman in the world who has ever been in a boardroom like that, who has ever watched that happen to her, not once, not twice, not three times, but several times in a day, day in and day out, being dismissed.
For that woman, I feel sorry.
Just because does it happen to men? I'm sure it does. Does it happen to men anywhere near as much as it happens to women? Absolutely not. And that with the fact that men are more likely to be in management positions than women are. That's just a fact.
Okay. I'll give you that, but again, I don't see how Gillette gets us closer to a solution.
Ignore Gillette, bro. Ignore Gillette, and let's just take the message. Forget the commercial. Forget the company. Forget that it's capitalist marketing at its worst or finest.
That's the point.
The message.
How noble and pure and genuine can the message be? When
does it matter?
Commercial intent.
Does it matter? Because we're having a conversation now.
Sure, it does. Sure it does, because we're having this conversation, and it's not, I don't know how much of the conversation is really about making this move forward as much as it is about us repeating their brand. And if we sat in a boardroom with them, I think they'd be chuckling at this more than they'd be going, you know, Janelle's really got the right idea. I think they'd be asking, Janelle, how many young boys do you have, and how soon before they start shaving, and how many free Gillette things can I send you?
Again.
It's not a public service announcement.
This is all it's all very valid, and I hear you loud and clear, but listen to me when I tell you that all Gillette did was start a conversation with their own intention of making more money. And what I am doing is taking that and saying, whatever, I don't care what you're trying to do, Gillette, but now people are talking about this, so I'm going to use my 1 hour of radio time a week. No, don't interrupt me. I'm going to use my 1 hour of radio time a week to take that conversation and turn it into something bigger than a stupid commercial. And that's what I'm doing. And that's why I say ignore the commercial and think about the message. Do you think that men should be better at respecting women and that men who aren't should be called out when they don't?
I agree. I don't know how the ad calls out any specific man more than it just calls out this cliche. That's number one. And number two,
hashtag not all men.
You're right. I like the idea that you're talking about it. We're getting out of the trees and we're going into the forest view, right? Forget razors and let's talk about men and women. But what I would say is, and I would say it's kind of hard to run with that ball. If you're using the Gillette ad as the ball, you want to go across the goal line. Because now the defense is up, and everybody feels a little bit of attack. I remember when, like, comic books tried to diversify. All in 1 year, they had every single title in the Marvel Comics line suddenly diversify. They had a female version, a black version. Nobody's actually against that idea. If you look at, like, Spider-Man, he's been a mixed race kid for a long time in the comics. What they didn't like was a comic book company suddenly lecturing them with this righteous agenda, and they go, man, I feel a little bit like attacked, and it's a little hard to get the message to me now. So my question back to you would be, do you feel like that's an easy ball to run with, the ad? Or do you feel like there was something that could have helped you make this point better than the ad?
All right, I'm gonna let you go, and I'm going to answer that and then take another call. Thank you for the call, Byron. Bye. So to answer Byron's question, I don't care. I don't give a rat's patoot. It started a conversation, and it's a conversation that I think it's important to have. I think Byron is making progress as a male ally to the female plight. I'm sure somebody's going to call and make fun of me for just saying that, and that's fine. But I think our friend Byron has a little ways to go, and that's also okay. This isn't about condemning men who haven't figured it out yet. It's about having a conversation with them, starting that conversation, continuing that conversation until the numbers are more on our side. Women still make 80 cents on the dollar compared to their male peers. That's, of course, an average. It's not across the board. It's just an average. But that's a sucky average. If you're a man out there, how does that make you feel that there's a good chance that you make more money than a woman who does the same job simply because you have a penis and she doesn't? How do you think that makes us feel? It sucks. So yeah, I'm fighting. And there's probably always going to be men who think that we're whiny. If we don't make as much money, it's because we don't work hard enough. We're focusing too much of our time on our families. Should that matter? Maybe men should focus more time on their families. Give us a little bit of a break, if that's what you think. For every argument you have, I've got something else to throw back at you, so bring it. Let's go to Brandon in Sarasota. I love when we get callers from Sarasota. Brandon, are you going to yell at me? Hello? Brandon? I hear you, but I don't hear you. Okay, Brandon, we got to let you go. We tried. If you're Brandon, call back. Let's go to Jeff in Tampa. My phone screener warns me that you might not like me very much right now. So let's try to be nice. What can I do for you, Jeff?
I don't know why they would say that, because I'm not hostile at all.
No. They didn't say that you were hostile. It said that you might be somebody who has an alternative opinion on this.
Well, you know, here's all I have to say about this. First of all, as far as the current climate of, you know, trying to push back against the toxicity, yeah, I'm with that. I mean, I'm not a guy who believes in, you know, sexist, you know, establishment, whatever. I don't believe in that. I think that everybody should be equal. Everybody should have equal protection under law. Everybody should make the same amount of money for doing the same job. But here's what I will say. I think that when we start putting too much stock in the moral lessons of companies that torture animals and do things like that, we allow them to get some sort of, you know, social traction by just sort of reflecting, you know, things that are really easy to sort of...
Uh-oh, did I lose you, Jeff? We lost Jeff. So I'm going to pick up where he left off and respond. And yes, again, this is one of the few points that I can actually agree with most people who are critical. Because... Let's just talk about what Gillette, some of the stuff that it's done, right? They have previous advertising campaigns that have scantily clad women or women. There's one at like a auto racing show or something where these women are wearing literal like skin tight pleather bodysuits with the Gillette brand plastered on their butt. Like, and you're going to preach to us about sexualizing women after that. Okay. Let's talk a second about the pink tax. Gillette's one of the biggest culprits and charging more for products that just happen to be marketed towards women than other products that are basically the same exact thing that are marketed to men. So yeah, do they have the right to get up on their high horse and say, you know, I'm going to wag my finger at you and say, good men of the world, you need to get up and set an example for the bad men of the world. I get it. I hear you. But just because what they're doing isn't all good, it doesn't mean that it's bad. In my perspective on this, and the reason that I'm dedicating what's probably going to wind up being a whole show to it, is because it started a conversation. Even if you like that conversation, you can still say, I don't like the messenger, and not buy Gillette's products. And I am okay with that. I buy Gillette's men's products because I don't like paying the pink tax. Anyways, we're up against a break here, so we're going to break for just a second. And when we get back, I'm going to go to Zebulon in Tampa. And then at some point, I also want to play kind of a montage that I pulled up of Fox News reactions to all of this, which should stimulate some interesting conversation. So if you're just tuning in to WMNF's Midpoint Friday, I'm Janelle Irwin, and we will be back in just a moment. Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com. All right, thanks for joining us today on Midpoint Friday. I'm your host, Janelle Irwin. Frank Knox is man on the board, and Patty Perky is wrangling the phones, and we have a rousing conversation going on today about the controversial Gillette commercial that has a lot of women and some men, many men, I assume. God, that sounded so Trumpian. really praising it. And then it has a lot of people who are also not very happy about it, thinking that it's kind of painting all men with a negative brush and lecturing to them, if you will. So I am going heavy on the phone calls today because I really think that this is an important conversation in the quest to stamp out any type of sexism or misogyny or whatever else you want to call it. So let's go to Zebulon in Tampa, who has been very, very patient on the air. So happy to hear from you. It's been a long time, Zebulon. What can I do for you?
Hi, Janelle. How are you?
Good.
Well, I want to extend the conversation, extend the whole understanding, if you will, of toxic masculinity as it relates to United States foreign policy. I feel like, you know, our joint chiefs, our presidents, they've always been male, and the United States has gone into country after country after country and removed democratically elected leaders, whether you're talking about Mossadegh, or you're talking about Aristide, or you're talking about Lumumba, and we have gone in there and we have made economic and political ultimatums to these countries to force them to become vassals or satellites of U.S. imperialism. That's bullying. So here's my take on the commercial, which I did watch. Bullying, intimidation, coerced conformity, all of those things start, like everything else, when you're a child. And if you can nip it in the bud, you know, like Barney Fife used to say on the Andy Griffith Show, nip it in the bud, if you can nip it in the bud early, if you can get people to stop treating each other like that early and start recognizing everyone's dignity, everyone's right, everyone, you know, respect, show mutual respect. Even if you don't like somebody's choices or the way they look, show respect and love to people, you know, because we're all here trying to survive. We're all here trying to live. If you can establish that early with children, we could have a radically different world in about 30 or 40 years. That's all I wanted to say, Janelle.
A freaking men. Thank you, Zebulon. I appreciate it. And that is a fantastic transition to my little anthropological Facebook experience / nightmare. Okay, so I took to Facebook, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it was, but after I kept seeing all of these tweets and all of these Facebook messages, and I kept hearing things on the radio, and just all of these comments, just of people who were angry, so viscerally angry about this ad, I just didn't understand. I mean, I guess people can find something wrong in anything, and I expect that, but it was just so widespread and it blew my mind. So I took my frustration to Facebook and I was like, guys, what the actual heck? And Facebook did not disappoint. There were, you know, the expected slatherings of allies who kind of got it. And they were like, yeah, man, it just doesn't make sense how mad people are. But I had the most fascinating experience. So I had a real life incel comment. So for all you who don't know what an incel is, it stands for involuntary celibate. That means that they're not getting any. And they don't think it's their fault. They want to get some, thus involuntary, but they're not. So they're really mad. And the people that they're mad at are both men and women. They're mad at women because they're not getting any from them. They're mad at men, but only the men who aren't like them who are getting some. And this guy explains to me, he claims he's not an incel, by the way, but all of his talking points that bombarded my Facebook thread, every single one of them is like a direct talking point from message boards that are run by and for the incel, quote unquote, community. So here it is. They think that 80% of women are sleeping with 20% of men, leaving the 80% of men not in that lucky lot to fight for the 20% of women. But then they further add that those 20% of women, they want to be in the 80% of the women who are getting the 20% of men who are apparently more desirable. So they still don't sleep with the 20% of men who are fighting for them, or the 80% of men who are fighting for them. Thus, you wind up with a community of incels. So what's their solution? This is fantastic. So great. What's their solution? They want to have a sort of caste system for sex, right? They want it to where people are kind of grouped into, you know, their own classes, where if you make a certain amount of money and you look a certain way, you're in a certain group, and you can only partner up with somebody else who's in that same group. That way, all of these guys who are in that bottom 20% fighting for the 80% fighting for the, I can't even follow their math. Then it equals the playing field. It's like Marxism for relationships. And it's absurd. Anyways, I just had to throw that out there because in my inquiry about what this message means and why people are so taken aback by it, I found this whole other world of ideas that just, like, I wanted to laugh at it. But there was a part of me that was also really sad for this guy. Like, maybe somebody should just throw him a bone. Maybe that would be good for all of humanity. But anyways, if anybody's had any experiences like that, I'm totally curious. Because this guy's whole point, basically, and this is going back to what Zebulon said, was that it's women's fault that men aren't better. Because women like to date jerks. That 20% that they keep hooking up with, those guys, they look nice, but they're jerks. And so because women choose them, it's their own fault that they're mistreated. I raise the specter with this person that perhaps their upbringing has something to do with it. Girls who grow up in households where they have an abusive father, they see that behavior, and when they grow up, they don't know any better. They think that that's what love and relationships are supposed to look like. So to blame them is kind of silly. Now, full disclosure, I myself had a serious jerk face relationship that was awful, and I regret it. And yeah, it was totally like he was the bad boy. And, you know, I thought I could change him. Ladies, if you're in that boat, let me tell you, you can't. And I didn't. And I got out of it. And thank God, because now I have the most amazing husband in the world. But sorry for getting on a soapbox. Let's take a call from a woman. Deborah in St. Pete, what would you like to say?
Hi. Well, I'm glad you're back. I've always liked you.
Thanks.
And I think on this topic, I think we're really talking about ego. So I agree with Zebulon. My father raised three daughters, and I look at my sisters and I think they're just incredible. And how did they become so strong? And I think it's because my father just taught us to be the best people we could be. So he had a lot of social influence. You know, it wasn't about, you know, sexism or being strong or being powerful. It was just about being your best self.
Yeah, a basic decent human being, right?
Yeah, and you know, it was very influential, and you know, I commend you for, you know, raising three daughters yourself, and I think you're probably, you know, imparting that to your daughters.
Yeah, I also drink.
So I think it's all good. And I would say to people that don't find the commercial flattering, you know, that's just corporate wealth. What do they call it? Corporate messaging, goodwill, corporate goodwill. And like you said, a conversation starter, just like Subaru talks about love. And, you know, if these people would just say, no offense, you know, taken, no offense intended. I think that they're just putting out the good message to people.
Yet again, we had people who had already purchased Gillette's products who were angered by this message, who threw away their razors. And I, again, come back to the point that these people, they don't understand how boycotting works. You've already given them your money. This is doing nothing but costing you more money. You're not helping anything by doing this.
Right, and they're not subjugating anybody. They're really not. I would just say to people, you know, it shouldn't bother you that they're saying this. This is a good message.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Deborah. I appreciate it.
You bet. Okay.
All right. Let's go to James in Tampa. James, thank you for your patience on hold all that time. We've got a busy phone line going on here. What can I do for you?
That's quite all right. Thank you for taking my call. I really like your show. I listen all the time. Let me take us off the phone so you can hear me a bit better. Can you hear me better now?
That's better. Thanks.
Very nice. I think this is a very interesting conversation. I'm really excited that so many people are concerned with this conversation, whether or not they're offended or not. That's later in the conversation. But number one, I think it's great that so many men are paying attention to this ad, whether or not they're getting a positive or a negative influence from it. I think it's really the first time, at least in a long time, that sexism has been addressed from the side of the people committing sexism as opposed to from the victim side. I mean, all growing up, I was always, you know, always overheard the conversations of, oh, women shouldn't dress well because it invites bad behavior from men and such. And in my opinion, that's victim blaming, and that's really inappropriate for this conversation. I think
Absolutely.
It's great that finally the burden of sexual pressure and harassment is being put on the people who are potentially committing these. So I think it's really interesting that everybody's getting involved with this from that sense. That being said, I was raised always being told, you know, you need to respect women, you need to respect everybody, not just you know, the general status quo of men versus women world that we live in.
Can I interject, James, and ask you a question on that?
Yes, ma'am.
So you say, ma'am, clearly you were raised potentially in a Southern household. That's just my guess by the ma'am. I apologize if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of times men of a certain age, when they talk about their upbringing as a child, you know, they say they were raised to respect women. And my question for you is, what did that respect look like? Because I think in previous generations, yes, boys were taught to respect girls and women, but I think that that was more along the lines of things that are, by today's standards, just considered unnecessary chivalrous gestures, like opening doors and pulling out chairs and offering your jacket.
Well, in my opinion, it really came from, it's not to view women as a separate entity to men and to bring them to be even. We're all here together. We're all people. There really is no such thing as men and women if we look at it from the perspective that we're all equal and we're all in this together. Conversely, women should respect men, and not in the traditional sense of, look up to him and do everything he wants. I don't mean that at all. I think that's just a ridiculous concept. I mean that it's a two-way street, and that we should all learn to love and embrace each other's differences. We're not even and equal in all aspects. We all have our differences, and that's what makes us unique. And we should all look at that as a positive thing and not something to put somebody down about. And like I said, I was raised in a household where this is a very important value, not just as a young teen, but as a child. And I thought it was very interesting because the Gillette commercial kind of encourages men to teach their sons and daughters, when it's just the same on a burden on the mothers to teach her sons and daughters. Like I said, my mother raised me to be very sensitive to this particular issue. Not to say that my father was an offensive person whatsoever. He was a very respectful and even-tempered man, and I really appreciate being brought up by two people who are intelligent enough to really recognize this situation before it, you know, developed in me like it has so many unfortunate men.
Well, James, I'm gonna stop you there because we're getting to the last 10 minutes of the show here, and I've got a ton of calls I want to get to. So I'm going to respond, and then I'm going to keep it rolling with phone calls. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
You have a nice rest of the afternoon.
You also. And, you know, James made a lot of very salient points there. I will kind of, as a woman and a mother, respond to the last little bit about it's not just the commercial was encouraging fathers to teach their sons and their daughters these lessons. Well, that needs to be applied to mothers too. Of course it is. And I'm probably going to catch flack from somebody at some point for this, but that idea that this commercial only highlighted what fathers should be doing as a parent and not what mothers should be doing reminds me of the difference between All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter. Of course all lives matter. We all know that. To say otherwise would be absurd. But we don't need to say all lives matter because it's understood. In the same way that we don't need commercials or any other sort of media or talking points or anything like that, talking about mothers raising children, because the standard is and always has been that that's just what women do anyways. So the idea, and that's why this commercial was about toxic masculinity and not just about men being sexist jerks, which they are not all. It's about taking something that hasn't historically happened and that is still lacking. And one of those things is a man's role in his child's life. We still have an outsized burden on women to provide the child care and the discipline and things like that for the children while the man works. And that is what the message that I want to include as a result of this controversial commercial, I want that to be part of the conversation. How can we make sure that parenting is truly a two-way street and that we shed the expectations of who should be the breadwinner and who shouldn't, of who should do the bulk of the child rearing and who shouldn't? When it doesn't matter if it's the man or the woman, that's the day that we've really made progress. Let's go to Eric in Newport Richey. Eric, what's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to point out like you said, this is largely because corporations have done polling and seen that consumers want their companies to take a side in this broader social conflict that we find ourselves in. Like you said, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, all of these things, much like Nike chose Colin Kaepernick as their new spokesperson, right? Or at least their advertising campaign around him. And Gillette, for its part, has been a pretty conservative company, like you were mentioning before about preferential pricing for women's products versus men's products, and things like that. And so you're getting a lot of these right-wing groups that see this as losing the culture war. And good. That's pretty much all I had to say about that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. I'm going to keep it rolling. All right, let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Janelle, back when I grew up, back in the good old 60s and 70s,
all right.
people respected each other more. It just seems that has kind of washed away over the decades, unfortunately.
I wasn't around back then, but from what I know of the era that I should have existed in,
I really wish everybody could have, because when people talk about back then, everybody's like, well, it wasn't great. Well, no, it wasn't great. We had our issues. We had our wars. We had our race issues. But people, by and by, respected each other. They respected authority. You never heard of somebody using a gun or a knife and all that, but I'll digress. And let me tell you, women in this society, or any society, women are the badasses, okay? They do more. They have to put up a more crap than any man will ever have to deal with as he sits on his lazy butt screaming out orders and stuff. Women will show you your backside any day of the week, and I'm so happy to see more of them getting in government, because I'll tell you what, my wife, who is 59 years old, 5'1", and 105 pounds, will run circles around anybody I know.
Andy, do you hear that? Do you hear that? That's the sound of me doing a happy dance.
Yeah. But as far as Gillette, I haven't seen the commercial. I don't watch TV. I watch PBS. I watch the Weather Channel. I watch Drag Race.
Oh, it's on. You can find it on the Google.
I've heard enough about it.
you're on to something
not
there.
Even worth it. But even the girl that cuts me and my wife's hair charges her more for doing less. She did it a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to have to put that in her face, you know, and ask her what's up with that. But before I get off, as far as Gillette's concerned, I'll give you three words. Dollar Shave Club.
There. I'm interested to see what their market share ends up being after after
Gillette's
this whole thing.
A lot to Dollar Shave Club. That's why I think they're, because I've got a degree in marketing, and I think they kind of see the writing on the wall, and they're like, well, let's jump on a hot-button issue and stick it out there with our name plastered on it, and maybe that'll, you know, swing more people towards us because they'll get all the warm and fuzzies. But
we'll see. All right, Andy. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate your thoughts.
Sure.
Bye-bye. All right. So, yeah, the pink tax thing, back to that. God, that's so frustrating. So I don't remember if it was last Christmas or the Christmas before or the Christmas before. I don't even know. I lose track of time. But there was some sort of analysis of, like, kids' toys. And you had Razor scooters, for example, and you had one that was red and you had one that was pink, and the one that was pink, the exact same freaking scooter, was $10 more. And there were other side-by-side comparisons just like that. Lego sets. You have a complex Lego set that's marketed towards boys that's got a bazillion pieces that parents will step on and scream and curse. And if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the worst. And then you have a pink one that's less complicated, fewer pieces, but it's pink and purple and pretty and shiny. And there's a unicorn or a princess or something. And it's more money. Why? Why is it more expensive? Why do we have to pay tax on things that are required for us to not, you know, I'm sorry if this grosses you out, but bleed on things? We have to do that. We don't have a choice. Why do we have to be taxed for it? It's crazy. We don't tax medicine, but we tax sanitary products for women? Yeah. Anyways, I mean, and if you really want to pick a battle, you know, if you want to get your, you know, jock itch cream for tax-free, then all right, I'll stand by you. Jack in Clearwater. Are you? I hope people out there are laughing somewhere, because I am making a fool of myself. What can I do for you, Jack?
Well, I was just on a drive here, came across this. I actually just watched the ad because I had heard about this on your show just a few minutes ago. I'm feeling kind of double sided on it, honestly. And WMNF is a great platform for me to get up and kind of antagonize some of your more set in listeners. I do it on some of the more political shows, but in this case, I want to kind of observe the obvious things that are supported by any self-respecting individual. You know, nobody is an advocate of sexual harassment. Nobody is an advocate of domestic abuse. You know, like nobody of a self-respecting nature, at least. But there is definitely an attack on masculinity as a whole. I feel like this ad is an ingredient in that, and what it's contributing to is a generation of men who don't feel empowered because they are being told that they should be ashamed of the parts of their makeup that would be empowering to them otherwise. You know, competitiveness, stoicness, what is it, self-sufficiency, these aspects of masculinity, which are ingredients in amazing feats like overcoming adversity or resolving a conflict in a large family. These same feats are being portrayed as disgusting, shameful aspects of life. The American Psychological Institute actually denotes self-sufficiency as harmful behavior in young males. And so, you know, we have to be careful as we watch this media, as we're being influenced by this media, as we allow ourselves to be influenced by this media, that we address the problems that need to be addressed, but we don't degrade the aspects of humanity that make us great.
Just let's take this from a bird's eye view. The overall message in general that men who would like to see women respected and who would like to see a culture of toxic masculinity, if you don't like that term, you know, talk about bullying or just overall meanness, that message, are you at least glad to hear that message?
I would be if it wasn't being slanted in the way that it's being slanted. It's much like the I'm sorry for the background noise. It's much like the Black Lives Matter thing that you addressed earlier. Mm-hmm. Of course, any self-respecting person is going to support racial equality. I mean, that's not to be questioned. But the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement has created, and this I don't think could be denied in any real realm, has created a justification for bigotry to be practiced by people of color against people who are not of color. And of course, that's not to speak for everybody. But there's actually been a rationalization. I've spoken with people who have told me that white people can't suffer from racism because they are genetically connected to the oppressor's culture. And you know, it's these types of conversations that are being had and rationalized, that are dangerous. So of course, you know, I'm glad to see that wealthy individuals who have attained and retained their power through means of sexual oppression or racial oppression or any other form of oppression, I'm glad to see publicly that we're standing against it.
All right, but Jake, I've got to let you go because we're up at the end of the show here and I'm about to pass it over to the next show. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I really appreciate it. And you get to be the last caller.
Of course.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Jake, and happy Friday. All right, so I'm about ready to turn it over here to Joellen for Art in Your Ear. She looks like she has a pretty interesting show coming up. Something about a Mexican building a wall at USF. Oh, the irony. I see where he's going with this. I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Well, stay tuned for that because it sounds like a don't miss. Thank you so much to everyone who joined in on this very important conversation. And thank you for being patient with me, taking a rare opportunity to, I guess, get up on a soapbox. We have like I don't know, like 30 emails and text messages or something crazy. I've never seen this many come in one show before. I am going to stay here for a little bit and respond to some of these. I appreciate them. I'm sorry that I didn't get to them on the air, but we just had way more engagement on this issue than we possibly had time to address universally. So it's really great to see so many people taking this important issue and really giving it some thought. And even if you're on the fence, or even if you're somebody who didn't agree that this was a positive message, you know, I hope you're still having the conversation, because we can get there. We can get there together. All right. I just want to say at the end here that support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco massage sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.